Tonight, if you would please take your Bible and open to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. Does everybody have a copy of the notes for the chapter? Anybody need one? All right, I don't see any hands. Isaiah, chapter 38. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord. Even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? 22 verses in this chapter all about Hezekiah's sickness and healing. Let's pray and ask God for help us, and then we'll continue our study here tonight. Father, thank you for this time. And for those that are here again, please bless our time. Help us to learn from this chapter the things that you would want us to learn. And thank you that you hear and answer prayer. We see that in this chapter. Bless us now, please, as we continue. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 1, 2, and 3, just the beginning of the chapter. Hezekiah becomes very, very sick, very ill. And, of course, he prays to the Lord. And I want you to see here in your notes, because it's important to catch this early in our study here tonight. Chapter 38 does not follow chapter 37 in chronological order. It's important to note that, okay? You might recognize that something similar happens in the book of Revelation when we were studying the book of Revelation together. As you're going through the chapters, all the chapters are not really laid out in chronological order. Sometimes you'll be reading along and studying what's going on, and it seems to jump back to events that have happened earlier, and then it goes back and picks up the timeline again. And it's kind of like that here. Chapter 38, which we're starting tonight, does not chronologically follow chapter 37. And the reason I know that is because verse number 6, if you notice that, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." Well, friend, that happened in chapter 37, which we looked at last time when we were together. In fact, you can go back and see that. There were 185,000 in chapter 37, verse 36. There were 185,000 of their soldiers that were all dead corpses in the morning. And then Sennacherib goes back home and his two sons kill him in his temple of his god. So Assyria was defeated in the previous chapter. All right. So when we come to chapter 38 and you see verse number 6, God's promise that he's going to deliver Judah out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Well, that's already happened. So that's why I'm saying it cannot be that this is chronologically after chapter 37. As this chapter begins, though, we see that Hezekiah has become seriously ill. It mentions in verse number 1, I think it is, that little phrase, "in those days," right as the verse started. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." Well, "in those days" refers to what's happening in chapter 37, okay? During those events that are happening in chapter 37, not long before the invasion of Sennacherib and what God's going to do there, the record of that attempted invasion that's found in chapter 36 and chapter 37 is what's referred to there. "In those days," that's when Hezekiah was sick, and he was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah is sent unto him from the Lord, I think. And it says there in verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him." I wonder who sent Isaiah to go see Hezekiah. It has to be the Lord, right? God's sending him to Hezekiah. And notice what he says to him in verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." What a comforting message. No, actually, it's not a comforting message, is it? This is a real serious message. "Look, you need to get your affairs in order, son, because your days are numbered and your life is going to end." So it's not a comforting message at all. But that's the message that Isaiah brings to him. Set your house in order. So once he hears that in verse number 2, what does Hezekiah do? And keep in mind, he's basically a good king, a good leader over Judah. "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." What do you think? Right thing to do? I think so. I think that's the right thing to do. When you get news like that, if you got news like that tonight, what would you do? I'd do the same thing. I'd turn my face to the wall and I'd start praying and crying out to the Lord. And in verse number 3, notice what he says here. "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. So he's not only praying, but he's praying with tears and seeking the Lord's help and asking God to, asking God to spare his life and to give him some more time yet to live. So in verse 4 through 8, Hezekiah gets God's answer. All right? Verse 4 says, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying," and I know that you're aware of this, but this is how God spoke to his people in the Old Testament. He would speak through the prophet to his people. And so the word of the Lord comes not to Hezekiah, but to Isaiah. "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward." So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. God is giving Hezekiah the promise that he's going to be healed. You're going to have 15 more years yet to live. And he gives Hezekiah a sign that proves that he's going to have these 15 more years. And that is that the sundial of Ahaz is going to return 10 degrees backward. Okay? Now, I have this in your notes, but if you'll look at it, under number 2, letter B, and then number 2 again, it is believed that Ahaz had built an obelisk facing to the west with steps leading up to it for telling time. Normally, the declining sun would cause a shadow to move upward on the steps. In this case, God miraculously caused the shadow to decline 10 degrees while Hezekiah watched. And this was God's sign to Hezekiah, confirming the promises made to him. So that is a miracle, isn't it? Because it's one, like, I didn't put the reference in here, but there is a reference in, I wish I knew right away where it was, but Hezekiah is praying to the Lord and he's given a choice. Do you want, well, that's nice. One of these spotlights went out this morning, now a second one went out tonight. So I'm guessing by the end of tonight's service, I'll be in total darkness up here. But anyway, back to our text. That was kind of weird. Hezekiah is given a choice. Do you want the sun to go upward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah says, well, to Isaiah, he says, basically, it's nothing for it to go upward 10 degrees. If it will go backward 10 degrees, then I know it's a miracle sign from the Lord. And so I think it's in one of the Chronicles, 1st or 2nd Chronicles. But anyway, he requested that it go backwards, and God did send it backward 10 degrees. And so that's really a miracle from God to show Hezekiah that, yes, you're going to get 15 more years yet to live. So that's verses 4 through 8. God heard and God answered his prayer. And I wanted to just stop here and just remind all of us that God does hear our prayers. And God does answer our prayers. Sometimes it's not an answer right away. Sometimes it's not even the answer that we're looking for. But God always hears our prayers and God always answers our prayers. And you need to believe that. You need to trust that. And like we talked about some this morning, take your prayers to the Lord, believing that God hears, believing that God will answer, and trust that the answer is on its way. It may take a little while sometimes, but the answer is on its way. My dad used to say it this way, it's in the mail. It's in the mail. It's on its way. So just trust that the Lord has heard and that he's going to answer. So verses 1 to 3, Hezekiah becomes very ill. Praise to the Lord. Verses 4 to 8, Hezekiah receives God's answer to his prayer. And then in verses 9 through 15, Hezekiah writes down the record of all that's going on here in his heart and in his mind and his prayer to the Lord and all that kind of thing. And so he writes down his personal thoughts in verses 9 to 15, his personal feelings. It's kind of like, this is the way I thought of it anyway, writing it down in a journal, keeping a record of it, okay? Here's a good thought for us to remember, okay, about writing things down. We tend to forget. We tend not to remember, like this is a good thing right here, right? This is a good answer to prayer that God gave him. And we have a tendency to forget. And sometimes writing something down so that you can see it later is going to be needed later on when you go through a tough spot. You remember what God did for you back here, and it encourages your heart today. I don't keep a journal, but sometimes, you know, writing things down in your Bible or just making yourself a little note. I do have things that I've written down over the years that every once in a while I'll go back and look through. In fact, is can I tell you a secret? And say sure.
Yes, sure.
Okay, because I'm going to tell you either way, all right? But every once in a while, somebody will give me a nice little note or a nice little card, and sometimes they're a little bit extra special, and I keep those. And then every once in a while, depending, you know, but I'll go back and look through those. And you say, why do you do that? Because they're encouraging. They're encouraging to remind you that there are some folks out there that care about you. They're praying for you. They want to try to help you. They want to try to, keep you going so that you don't give up. And it's important for us to keep some things like that written down. Whether it's you writing something down personally, or whether it's somebody that gave you a note or a little card or something like that, sometimes those things can be very, very helpful. So anyway, Hezekiah writes some things down here in verses 9 through 15, which is why it says in verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Okay? And notice some of the things he says here. I said in the cutting off of my days. I'm guessing that's when he first learned that he was, you know, going to die. Verse number 1. You know, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. Because naturally he's going to be dead, right? I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, verse 12, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. The idea there is about, you know, if you've ever been camping at all, it takes a lot longer to set up a tent than it does to take it down. And here it's the idea of taking it down. You know, here I am at the end of my days. Man, that went fast. Right? That's kind of what Hezekiah is saying. It's like having the shepherd's tent taken down, okay? Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. This is like, you know, making a garment in the weaver's, forgot the name of it now. Pardon?
A loom.
A loom, yes, thank you. And it's done, and so you cut the thread and you stop. You know, it's like that. It's the idea, again, of a just quick cutoff, okay? So again, verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me like as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. You know, sick unto death. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Verse 13, I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. And the idea there is that, you know, the king of the jungle getting a hold of some smaller animal and just crushing it, you know, in its jaws, okay? I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he, God, break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me like a crane. Again, think about a lion grabbing a crane or a swallow. Like as a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. So Isaiah is writing this stuff down about his, you know, quickly going to die here. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is all before God makes that promise about this special sign from the Lord, you know. And he laments the fact that he's being cut off from the rest of mankind, in at least how he sees it, in the prime of his life. He's not going to be among the living anymore. He's going to be killed. He's going to be dead because of this pining sickness, okay? So he compares his life to coming to an abrupt end, like a shepherd's tent when it's taken down or a finished fabric cut off from the loom. There it is. He feels totally helpless, like a crane or a swallow or a dove whose bones are being crushed by a mighty lion. Top of the next page, Hezekiah is attempting to describe his sense of desolation, his bitterness, his earnest supplication, and his helplessness under the stroke of God. We all know this, don't we? If God says you're going to die, you're going to die. There really isn't much you can do about it. I just read this afternoon the obituary of this friend's wife, who I mentioned a couple of services ago. Do you remember her age? 64, was it, I think?
No, she was born in 1956.
Okay, so 67,
68?
67. So she died kind of unexpectedly, at least to us. Sarah and I knew this man and his wife for a number of years. And, of course, we got Bonnie's funeral coming up, and we've got, like, little Blair that we're praying for. You know, and there's so many situations like that where people have either died or they're got some serious illness and they're close to death. My sister Julie's close to death. Winston's father's close to death. There's several situations like this that we're praying about. And we know this, don't we? Who's in charge of all that? God's in charge of all that. See? God's in charge of all that. God knows exactly when the time is that he's going to either let them live or he's going to take them home to heaven. We think about that even, again, I mentioned Blair earlier, this little 8-year-old sweetheart of a little girl. You know, we're praying for a miracle, right? But what if God decides that that's not his will for her life? And I know Nick and Jenny are thinking this way also. We do want God's will to be done, okay? And if he chooses to take her home, he chooses to take her home. And you know, you say that, and you say it, don't you, as a parent, with tears in your heart and maybe coming out your eyes, rolling down your cheek, because you don't want to lose him, okay? We were speaking about this with Winston before the service, about his father's, you know, very, very sick. And I think it was Sarah asked him, are you preparing your heart, you know, for that day? And he said, yes and no. Right? I mean, because isn't that how it is? You think you're ready, but when it actually happens, you find out you're not as ready as you thought you were. And then he went on to say that's how it was when his mother passed as well. And by the way, today, to show you that we're all in this, today, 4 years ago, my mom died. 4 years ago today. So we all have to go through this. But again, who's in charge of all that? God is. God's in charge of all that. And by the way, your days are numbered and my days are numbered. And whenever the time is that God says it's time for you to come home, unless he does for you what he did for Hezekiah, you're going to go. And Hezekiah recognizes that here. And of course, he's referring to all that here and speaking about his desolation, his bitterness, his earnest supplication, his helplessness, all under the stroke of God. See? Now, letter G there on top of that second page, God has decided that his days should come to an end and there's nothing he can do about it except that because of his prayer, 15 years are added to his life. So God may be moved, as he was in Hezekiah's situation here, God may be moved by the prayers of his children to extend someone's life, which is why we pray, right? This is why we pray for loved ones and friends and little ones and, you know, these serious situations that I was referring to here a moment ago, because we don't know what God may choose to do, but we ask and hopefully submissive to whatever he decides. All right. So that's what Hezekiah is writing about here in verses 9 through 15. Well, in verse 16 through 20, we see Hezekiah praising the Lord for, again, his recovery and the additional 15 years. Verse 16 says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. I wanted to stop here and just mention the fact that Hezekiah says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. I wanted to mention the fact about, for all of us, that we all have to go through these things. There's nothing, you know the verse, I know you're familiar with it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will make a way to us, will along with it make a way to escape. So you and I all have to go through things like this. It's common. It's common to man. Any, you know, we think of the word temptation, we think of temptation towards evil, but the word there is a word that refers to testings and trials and difficulties of life. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. See? But God is faithful. Don't ever forget that. God is faithful and he will see you through whatever that is. It's something that we all have to deal with in life. The devil would like us to believe that we're the only one. And we're the only one. And God's forgotten us. And we're having to suffer things that nobody else has to suffer. when that's really not true. It's part of being a human being on the earth. O Lord, verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live. We all have to live through these things. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Well, you can imagine, can't you? You're living your life. I'm thinking about Hezekiah now. You're living your life, and all of a sudden you become gravely ill. And then the prophet Isaiah comes to you, and verse number one, he says, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wow. My whole life turned around right there, if I'm Hezekiah. And by the way, isn't that a truth about life, that our lives can change like that? Yeah. Which is why, as a Christian, we need to walk with God humbly every day. Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And you don't know that, I mean, I don't mean to be morbid or scary or anything like that, but we are here tonight together, and none of us are sure that we'll be here next Sunday night together. Right? I mean, as much as we don't want to think about this, you can get bad news this week from your doctor telling you you only have days left. Or I could get that. Hezekiah got that right here in this chapter. And so instead of peace, he's got bitterness. Verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but, I like that, but thou, God, hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. God stepped in, and God changed it all because Hezekiah prayed and sought the Lord with tears. And God heard his prayer, and God saw his tears, and God decided to give him another 15 years. Will God do that for you or me? There's no guarantee of that. But I tell you what, if it's me, I'm going to ask. How about you? I bet you would ask also. So again, verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Now look at this. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. It's a couple of different places in the Word of God where God speaks about him dealing with our sins. And I don't know if you've ever caught on to this. I'm guessing that you have. But when God deals with our sins, they're put far away from us. Okay? Like here, it says that God has cast all of his sins, you know, behind God's back. He's not looking at them anymore. He's put them behind his back. Or Psalm 103, is it verse 12? Where it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions from us. Another passage talks about God burying our sins in the depths of the sea. You know, when God deals with our sins, they're put far, far away. The devil, though, he likes to bring them up again, doesn't he? He likes to remind us again of how we've failed and how we've not done the things that we're supposed to do. Because that's how the devil works. He tries to defeat us with those kind of things. I don't know, are you glad that God does what he does with our sins? Yes. I know I am. And I'm glad he's not doing what the devil does. God puts them far, far, far away. And when the devil comes, by the way, and reminds you of all your sins and what you've done wrong, tell him to go home. Amen. You know where that is, right? Just tell him to go home. Tell him to leave you alone and go home. Anyway, God says here, actually Hezekiah's words, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Look at verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. You know, you have to understand again, Hezekiah is talking about the fact that once you die and you're not among the living anymore, you can't praise the Lord with the other saints. You know, it's kind of like this with Bonnie. You know, she passed away here a little bit ago, and we're going to have her service on Saturday. Have you noticed that she's not been in church today? I say that somewhat with a smile because she can't, right? She's in heaven praising the Lord, but here among the living, She can't come and meet with us and praise the Lord among the living anymore. She can't give praise to the Lord in the church house anymore. Because, like the Bible says here in verse 18, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The only chance you have to do that is while you're alive. And I say, well, won't we do that when we get to heaven? Sure you will. But I'm talking about among the living. And that's what Hezekiah is talking about. Among the living, I won't have a chance to do that anymore if my life is taken from me. Verse 19, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day, Hezekiah says. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Hezekiah is praising the Lord for his recovery that God has given him and recognizing the fact that because God has heard my prayer and God has forgiven me my wrongs and God has restored me to good health again, I can still praise the Lord among the living. I can still give him glory and honor and praise. Listen, according to verse 19, I can still lead my children to do that very same thing. I can still lead my children to do that very same thing. So my encouragement here to all of us is, while we're alive, let's do that. Amen. While we're alive, let's praise the Lord. While we're alive, you know, when it's time to sing, take your songbook and open to the very same page that the song leader's singing from, you know. Now, he may get the words wrong now and then, because this song leader does that now and then, all right? But you just sing the words that are there, all right? And sing it out as best as you possibly can. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I can't sing like Brother Tony back there. But it doesn't really matter how you can sing, because God wants you to give a joyful noise unto the Lord. By the way, anybody can do that. Give a joyful noise unto the Lord. And give God the praise and give him the glory. And by the way, don't be afraid to say amen and praise the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, there was when we had the Easter brunch, there was that lady here with her couple little daughters. Did you notice how often they said amen while they were here?
Amen.
I was thinking about the fact that some of our folks could take a lesson from those little ones.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to say amen now and then. Don't be afraid to give God some praise when you hear something, you know, scriptural that you agree with and that you're encouraged by and so forth. Don't be afraid to say amen. That's very, very important. By the way, I think the Lord wants to hear us say that. And I think he wants to hear us sing also. And he enjoys that when we praise him. Because again, like Hezekiah is talking about here, we're among the living and we should be doing this and we should be leading our children to do this. That's again verse 19. Look at verse 20. Isaiah 38, verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah comes to him in verse 1 and says, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. But Hezekiah says right here, the Lord was ready to save me. In other words, you know, I know it was because he prayed. I know it was because he cried. I know it was because he sought the Lord. But the Lord was ready to hear that prayer, see those tears, answer that prayer, and give him another 15 years. The Lord was ready to save me. I wonder how many good things God would like to do for us if we would just ask. Shame on us for not asking. By the way, doesn't the book of James say you have not because ye ask not? Huh. You have not because you ask not. How many good things would God be willing to do for us if we would just ask? Lord, help us to see more folks come to church. By the way, there's a young couple here today with a couple of little kids, and I said to Sarah, I said, wouldn't it be great if they came back? Wouldn't it be great if that was the beginning of restoring what we used to have not that long ago? Wouldn't it be great if that was what was going to happen? You know, can we pray that way? Should we pray that way? Of course we should. Of course we should pray that way and ask the Lord to give us families like that. I've been praying that way all along. I'm guessing some of you have also, which is why folks like that show up, right? So anyway, the Lord was ready to save me. Verse 20, therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah is mentioning the fact here, not only that the Lord was ready to save him, but because of what God did for me, I'm going to sing about that. I'm going to let God hear about that with my voice. I'm going to sing my songs, and notice, to the stringed instruments. So not just my voice, but instruments accompanying me as well. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments. And how long? All the days of our life. Well, I know that for Hezekiah, that's 15 more years. He's going to give God the praise and the glory for God hearing and answering his prayers. Again, verse 20, Lord, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Notice, in the house of the Lord. Yeah, right here. Now, we should do it, of course, when we're at home and in our car and wherever we are, but in the house of the Lord. I don't know what you think about this, but I personally believe that God's people need to go to the house of the Lord on a regular basis and be counted there, you know, be seen there, be singing there, be praising there, be learning there. I mean, that's what the house of the Lord is for. So in verses 16 to 20, he's praising the Lord for his recovery. He's going to use the instrument of his voice as well as the stringed instruments to do this for those additional 15 years that he's been given. Then in verse 21 and 22, we come to the end of this chapter, and Hezekiah is asking for a sign from the Lord and receives it. And probably, here again, chronologically, verse 21 and verse 22 probably fit chronologically near verse 6, 7, and 8. Because verse 6, 7, and 8 mentions the sign. All right? But at the end of the chapter is where it's mentioned that Hezekiah is asking for the sign. Notice it says, "For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, so that happened earlier, probably verse 6, 7, and 8, somewhere in there, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? So Hezekiah had asked for a sign, and God gave him a sign. And remember what the sign was? The sun going back 10 degrees, backwards, on the dial of Ahaz. The health crisis was taken care of, and the sign was taken care of all by the Lord. God was merciful to Hezekiah and spared his life and gave him another 15 years. The sign, of course, proved God's care and God's compassion for his child, Hezekiah. God was merciful and took care of that for him. So many times God is good and merciful to us, is he not? And he gives us things and does things for us that in many ways we really don't deserve. But because he is who he is and he's caring and compassionate, he does what he does for us. I want to encourage all of us here tonight as we wrap up our lesson for this evening. I want to encourage all of us that no matter what the situation is in your life or in the life of someone that you care about, God still hears and answers prayer. And he can turn a situation around if he chooses to do it. All right? Now, know this. Just because you ask doesn't guarantee he'll do it. Okay? Because it has to fit his plan and his will, which is why we have to be submissive to what he wants. But the fact that you asked might make all the difference. That's what happened here. The fact that Hezekiah asked made all the difference. And God said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to give you 15 more years. What if he'd have not asked? What if he'd have not prayed? What if he'd have not cried? What if he'd have just said, well, oh well, I guess this is the end. But he didn't do that. And because he didn't do that, God heard and God answered and turned that situation around for him. This chapter is a good chapter to remind us, I think, to pray and to seek the Lord, even when it looks very, very dire, even when the situation looks hopeless and helpless. Because, you know, we serve a God who can do the miraculous. And he can do things that are exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So it's important for us to remember that. The devil would love for us to give up, and God doesn't want us ever to give up, because we have a God who can do the miraculous. So I'm going to close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll see maybe if you have any questions or comments tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for this wonderful chapter in your word that encourages us on the topic of prayer and how God hears and God answers and how you can do the miraculous. I'm thankful for Hezekiah and for his crying out to you. And I'm thankful also, Lord, for the encouragement that you do hear and answer prayer. May that be true for all of us. And may we be submissive to what you have for us in our life. Help us to be men and women who believe in prayer and practice prayer in our daily life. Bless us now, Lord, please, as we close our Bible study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.